week we were speaking about how Elimelech and his wife Naomi and their two sons left their home in Israel during a famine and went to live in the land of Moab that was pagan and full of idolatry. And while in Moab, the two sons married Moabite women. Afterwards, Elimelech and his two sons died. And hearing that the famine in Israel was over, Naomi arose to return to Israel. And she had a change of heart and made a decision to return to where God had placed her. Ruth, the daughter-in-law of Naomi, made a commitment to Naomi and to the Lord and returned with Naomi to Israel. And we said that if we want restoration in any part of our lives, maybe we should examine our commitment to the Lord. Is it a most serious commitment, which it should be? Will it stand the test of trials, temptations, heartaches, difficulties? Do we love the Lord to the point that we will never leave Him and that our commitment will always be sure? Will anything break or weaken our commitment to Jesus? I hope not. Naomi returned to the land where God had placed her. Ruth committed her life to the Lord, and then restoration occurred. I want to repeat that. Naomi returned to the place where God had placed her, returned to Israel. Ruth committed her life to the Lord, and then restoration occurred. This morning I would like to speak about the Lord's awesome capability and work of restoration. So I'm going to begin in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 19. Ruth chapter 1, it's right before the book of 1 Samuel, a sandwich between the book of Judges and 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. Book of Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 19 to 22 and then go into Ruth chapter 2. So they, referring to Naomi and Ruth, so they went until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and with her Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Let's read in Ruth chapter 2 and verses 1 to 7. Now Naomi had the kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was in the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" The servant in charge of the reapers replied, She's the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Thus she said, and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. So Naomi arose to return to Israel, and Ruth was committed to go with her. It must have been very difficult for Naomi to... Now you picture this. We just read the words in the Bible, but it's always... Sometimes it's really worthwhile picturing yourself in this situation, reading in between the lines. Naomi returns to Israel with Ruth, returns to her land. It must have been very difficult for Naomi to see her property after 10 years. 10 years went by. The farm was probably overgrown with weeds. Try to imagine how difficult it was for Naomi to walk onto the property, into the house, considering that the last time she was there, her husband and her two sons were with her. I mean, there had to be tears in her eyes with the memories and the broken heart. The first time you see the place in 10 years, and your mind is naturally going into reminiscing. Yeah, and she probably saw her husband walking around there, her two sons, and now they were gone. It must have been so heartbreaking for her. Try to think of the memories and the flashbacks that she must have had that broke her heart. And in verse 20, she told the people of the town, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." I just want to make something clear over here. The Lord does not deal bitterly with anyone. He's not vindictive. A person may be out of the will of God, and then there are consequences. God is not vindictive. God allowed Naomi and Ruth to return to Israel during the barley harvest in the spring. It was a nice time of year to travel. And the Lord blessed them with the harvest. They didn't come back in winter, and it does snow in Israel. He could have made them come back during a snowstorm. He didn't. He made them come back in the spring. Nice time of year. It was barley harvest. When you return to the Lord, He has blessings in store for you. Don't think God takes it lightly when the soul returns to Him. He's got this huge smile on His face. If you take one step towards the Lord, He will go a mile or more for you. It just takes one step on your part. And Boaz was related to Elimelech. Boaz was of the tribe of Judah. Keep that in mind, very important. So Ruth went out to the field and she winds up in Boaz's field. So Boaz was related to Elimelech. Boaz was of the tribe of Judah. So was Jesus. Boaz's mother was Rahab, the prostitute from Jericho who he despised. And speaking of restoration, Joshua 6:24 tells us that after the fall of Jericho, Rahab lived with God's people. Most likely she accepted God into her life so that He was able to restore her, and then she raised a son like Boaz who served the Lord. It doesn't matter what a person is or what they have done in his or her life. If he or she accepts the Lord into the life, He can restore or change everything. She was a prostitute, but then she accepts the Lord in her life and her life is changed. And then she has a son like Boaz. We sang the song this morning, "It is no secret what God can do." And it says, "With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It's no secret what God can do. If you are praying for someone's salvation or restoration, don't stop praying. It is no secret what God can do. If there's someone on your heart, maybe your children, maybe your relative, maybe your friend, maybe your neighbor, if you're praying for them and nothing is happening, don't stop praying. We sang this morning, it is no secret what God can do. You keep pounding at that door of grace and God is going to answer. Rahab is included in the ancestry of Jesus. How is that? Well, Rahab has Boaz, and as we're going to see later on, Boaz marries Ruth. They have a son named Obed, who has a son named Jesse, who has a son named David, King David. So you follow, and we know that Jesus came from the ancestry of King David. Rahab is included in the ancestry of Jesus. See, anybody could come to the Lord. The past doesn't matter. If they come to the Lord and accept Him, they're forgiven. Anybody could come to the Lord. She was a prostitute, but it is no secret what God can do. And with this in mind, we want to remember the words of Jesus. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. God can restore anyone, anything, and He is very willing to do. God just loves restoration. He is a God of restoration, and this fact is still true this morning. And speaking of restoration, in the song, When Jesus Comes, the chorus states, when Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. And Ruth went to go glean in Boaz's field. Here's an interesting point. Boaz's field was the same field in which the shepherds were abiding at the time of the birth of Jesus. I learned this when I was in Israel. Remember that verse in Luke chapter 2, verse 8? It says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. This was Boaz's field, where these shepherds were at the time of Jesus. This was Boaz's field, same place. 1,300 years prior to the birth of Christ, this was Boaz's field, same place. Now, since Ruth went to go glean in the field, what does glean mean? So we'll get a total picture of what's going on. Glean means to gather grain left behind by the reapers. God, being very concerned for the poor, commanded the reapers to leave some of the harvest for the poor so that they could glean. I believe this was on the edges of the field. God commanded, and you can read this in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, and Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22. God commanded that those who reap leave part of the field. Don't reap like the edges of the field, the corners, I guess it was, leave that for the poor to glean. God was concerned even for the poor. And He commanded, don't reap those corners over there. And Ruth went to go and glean. So picture this. Ruth went to get leftovers. That's what gleaning was, the edges of the field. Ruth went to get leftovers. But God's work of restoration had begun, and God had much more than leftovers for Ruth and Naomi. When the Lord restores, He doesn't give leftovers. He gives in abundance. I want to repeat that. Please absorb this. Know how God operates. When God restores, He doesn't give leftovers. He gives in abundance. And He fills to overflowing. This is our God. If you are in need of restoration, Don't be deceived by your current situation. When the Lord restores, He can change anything and even make great changes. He can do things you never dreamed of. You might be praying for something, and the answer hasn't come yet. But when it comes, you may get a lot more than what you even prayed for, because that's just the way God is, our Heavenly Papa. That's just the way He is. He gives in abundance. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think." He's beyond your thoughts when you pray. It goes beyond that. "Now unto Him," mark this verse, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." You can trust the Lord to complete any process of restoration. He'll complete it, any process of restoration. Now let's continue reading in Ruth chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 8 to 23. Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 to 23. Beginning at verse 8. "Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids.'" I guess God got Cupid in action, if you read these verses over here. "Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw.' Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?'" Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge.' Then she said, 'I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants.' At mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar.' So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her.' She gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law then said to her, 'Where did you go to glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed.' She told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, 'The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz.' Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead.' Again Naomi said to her, 'The man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, furthermore, he said to me, you should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids so that others do not fall upon you in another field. So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. So Boaz saw Ruth and told her that when she was thirsty, to go and get a drink from the water jars that were full. What's the parallel with Jesus? What did Jesus say the last day of the feast? John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Boaz offered Ruth water. Jesus offers us living water, his Spirit, living water that just never quits flowing. Ruth told Boaz that she was a foreigner. We didn't belong to God's family either. Sin made us an enemy of God. But Jesus, who restored our lives, looked at you and I as his beloved enemy. Do we love our enemies? We were enemies with God and sin. But the Lord looked at us as his beloved enemy and decided to become the sacrifice for our sins so that we could become part of his family. And Ruth asked Boaz, why have I found favor in your sight? Why did we find favor in Jesus' eyes? Well, the second verse of the hymn at the cross tells us why we found favor in Jesus' eyes. It states, amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Boaz gave food and drink to Ruth, and she had enough for herself and also for Naomi, her mother-in-law. At this point, Ruth didn't know it, but she met her Redeemer. This is beautiful. This is how I favor this book. What is a Redeemer? It's important that we define it over here, because Ruth didn't know it, but she met her Redeemer. What's a Redeemer? A Redeemer is someone who recovers ownership of something or someone by making payment. What happened to you when you met your Redeemer? Can you agree with the hymn? What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. No one gives like God. No one can satisfy your soul like Jesus. I mean, Boaz gave enough to Ruth for Ruth and Naomi. He satisfied her. Nobody satisfies like Jesus. No one can restore a life like Jesus. Like I said, keep praying if you're praying for someone's salvation and restoration. A line from the chorus we sing, I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. No one can restore life like Jesus. Jesus became one of us and is our kinsman redeemer. See, Naomi told Ruth, Boaz is a close relative of ours. He was a kinsman redeemer. Well, God became man in the form of Jesus. When he became man, he became our kinsman redeemer. See the parallels? God became man in the form of Jesus to become our kinsman redeemer. Can you say that Jesus is the best event that ever happened in your life? We said this morning, are we in awe of him? We should be. We sang this morning, in awe of you we worship. In the Chris Tomlin song, At the Cross, speaking about the cross and what Jesus did for us that no one else would do. He said, I'm in awe of you, in awe of you. Can you say that Jesus is the best event that ever happened in your life? And are you in awe of him this morning? What are the results of the redemption? You could read this in Ruth chapter 4, verses 1 to 12, but I'll just go through it with you. What are the results of the redemption? Boaz redeemed the land that belonged to Naomi. Ruth married Boaz and had a son named Obed. Ruth gave birth to a son, but the women said that Naomi had a son. See, God restored Naomi and Ruth. Naomi arose, had a change of heart to return to the Lord. Ruth had committed her life totally to the Lord. And look at the restoration that occurred. You go an inch, and God will go more than a mile. But give him that inch this morning. Consider Naomi's past. She lost her husband and two sons in Moab. I mean, one death would have been enough. She lost her husband and two sons in Moab. Her land was neglected for 10 years, possibly looking like it was in ruins. I mean, imagine how overgrown with fields and weeds and how neglected it looked. Now the land was restored, and she had what could be called a grandson. See what God could do? Give him that inch. Boaz could have been considered like a son-in-law. Considering all her losses, she never expected this. With God, all things are possible. It's not cliche. It's not something nice to say. It's fact. It's absolute truth. With God, all things are possible. He can and he does the unexpected. Don't lose faith in your prayers for restoration. Even if you have prayed and nothing has happened yet, keep praying and petitioning the Lord. Don't stop because nothing happened. Keep praying and petitioning the Lord. God has not changed since the time of Ruth and Naomi. This morning, one touch from the Master's hand can restore any form of ruins. Spiritual ruins, emotional ruins. He's the healer of broken hearts. He can restore ruins of health, financial ruins. No one restores like the Lord. It's not cliche. Just absorb it this morning. He can do anything, anything far beyond your wildest imagination. What hasn't even entered your head, he can do. And just briefly, what was the price of our redemption? Along with this account of redemption in the book of Ruth, consider our redemption and the price paid for it. In the Bible, Boaz is a representation of the Lord Jesus. Applications of how Boaz treated Ruth are how Jesus, our Redeemer, treats us. Boaz gave money to redeem the land that belonged to Naomi and Elimelech. But Jesus gave his blood, his life, through a most horrific suffering and death in order to redeem us. Boaz gave money. Jesus gave everything, his blood, his life, a horrific and most agonizing death and suffering to redeem us. Jesus paid for our redemption with unknown pain and suffering and agony with his blood, his life. Psalm 103, verse 4 states, "Who redeemed your life from the pit?" The pit is hell. In his book, The Redeemer, the author, Brother Petrelli, wrote that Jesus' highest title is that of Redeemer. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 says, "You were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." And I'm going to read to you Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. It says, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' The four living creatures said, 'Amen,' and the elders fell down and worshiped." Jesus paid the price for our redemption and salvation, but where are we today in our spiritual walk? You may have strayed from the Lord. This morning, he wants you to return to him, as did the prodigal son when he returned to his father. You can recommit your life to him this morning. We owe the Lord nothing less than our lives, and we want to give everything about ourselves to him. He gave everything, his all, for us. We want to show the Lord gratitude for the price he paid for our redemption by seriously and eternally committing to him. So I really didn't plan it, but I just feel let's just spend a few minutes before the Lord and just recommit our lives to him. If you need restoration, if you strayed from the Lord, if you feel like you strayed in any way, those of you online, in front of your computer, if you feel you have strayed from the Lord, you can return this morning. He wants to restore, as he did Ruth and Naomi. Just give him that inch, and he'll go more than a mile.